Good morning. Today we celebrate the great solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. If you notice, as we exit out of the Easter season and we enter into ordinary time, the Easter season is completed with solemnity after solemnity after solemnity. It's almost like this great grand finale that we've just celebrated the most pivotal, important truth of the resurrection for 50 days. And after these 50 days, the church kind of erupts with this glorious jubilation of all the truths then that flow from the resurrection that we gained in faith in Jesus Christ. So just last Sunday, we celebrated the solemnity of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This Sunday, we celebrate the Holy Trinity, the solemnity of the Holy Trinity. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Corpus Christi Sunday, which is the great feast of the body and blood of Christ. And then the following Sunday, we celebrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So the church, a month long, gives us a solemnity after a solemnity after a solemnity in joyous kind of glorification of the gift of our faith. Today, we enter in and ponder the mystery of all mysteries. That's a line taken from the Catechism. It's the mystery of all mysteries. And the reason why the church says this is because when we enter into the truth of the Holy Trinity, we're not reflecting upon things that God has done, his actions within the world. What we're called to reflect upon ultimately is who God is, his very nature. And I don't think there's any more mysterious thing you and I could truly reflect upon. What is God? That's what we celebrate. What is, in his very nature, his very essence, what is God? And a truth that has been given to us by divine revelation, not something that humanity was able to conjure up through our own intellect, but rather truly a mystery that God himself gave to us, is this: that God is one, but not solitary. Rather, God is this beautiful, dynamic, inner exchange of life-giving relationship and love. To put it very plainly, as St. John the Evangelist did in one of his letters, God is love. Not God loves, not that one of the best qualities of God is to love, but rather who he is, his very essence, is love itself. Now that's a humbling truth. That at the core of all existence, of all reality, isn't one individual powerful being creating everything. Rather, the source of all that there is this inner exchange, an inner relational, life-giving, dynamic love. In other words, love is the fabric from which and out of which all things exist. St. John Paul II, he wrote, "Man cannot live without love. He remains a being that is incomprehensible for himself. His life is senseless if love is not revealed to him. If he does not encounter love, if he does not experience it and make it his own, if he does not participate intimately in it, man cannot live without love." I think it's no coincidence that almost every single literary work, from poetry to music to plays to cinema, the most common theme is love. I don't think it's coincidence that when you look out at creation, the birds, the bees, the flower, and the trees, that all of it sings of conjugal, life-giving union of love. I don't think it's coincidence that if you and I were very honest with ourselves, that we were to tap into the greatest desire of our heart, what we would find there is an ache to be loved. And I don't think it's coincidence that the greatest suffering that humanity experiences isn't the death of a loved one, isn't somehow pain inflicted upon them from without bodily suffering. Rather, it's loneliness. To feel completely rejected, unwanted, and isolated, to be completely and utterly alone, that is hell. And it's the greatest suffering humanity experiences. You and I are made from love. That's what we celebrate today. The cause of all that there is of you and I is love. We're made from love. We're made for love. We're made to love. So a very important question is, what is love? What is love? We hear it on every radio station. We hear it in every book. We see it plastered quite literally on a lot of billboards today. Love is love. Well, what is love? And I think this solemnity offers us a wonderful opportunity to gaze upon love himself and allow love himself to teach us what is love. And so if you bear with me, I want to just kind of distill out 4 points. As we gaze upon the Trinity, what we see love to be. The first point is, love is personal. What I mean by that is not that it's individual or that it's some private affair. While it is that, love is personal in so much as only persons are capable of loving. The Holy Trinity is made up of 3 divine persons. What does that mean? They have an intellect, a mind, and they have a will, a place to choose. Which means that love is not simply emotional. It's not animalistic in this kind of guttural response to something. Rather, love encompasses the whole human person, which means it engages my mind, how I think, how I see, how I perceive things, and it engages my freedom to choose. A dog can't love. A fish can't love. A dolphin can't love. They may have wonderful emotions, a great affective, positive response when you come through the door, but it's not love. Love is uniquely human because only persons love. Flowing from that, then, as we gaze upon the Holy Trinity, and here's the second point, love is married to truth. As much as God is love, God is truth. He is the cause of all that there is. He's the fabric of reality, the blueprint, as it were, of right and wrong, moral goodness and moral evil. He is truth. And so anything apart from truth, it may be very emotional, may be very passionate, but it's not love. Love is married to truth. And you and I know this. Love, divorce of truth, what does it become? Sentimentality. Nice, fuzzy, warm feelings with no substance. It's like eating a bunch of Twinkies your whole life long. It may taste good, may give you a sugar high, but it's not giving you any nutrition. And this is why people can fall in infatuation or great pleasure or high emotion, and they could feed off of this their whole life long and yet never be satisfied. Look at our culture. These are individuals who are constantly grasping at emotional experiences, but not love. Love devoid of truth is not love at all. But here's a converse truth. Love, avoid of affection, is lacking. This is the third point. When we gaze upon the Holy Trinity, we don't see three individual robots that are just giving this kind of exchange of goods back and forth. They're not kind of void of any type of passionate love. Rather, the Holy Trinity is an interpersonal, dynamic exchange of love. They're madly enthralled and enraptured in one another. You heard that in the first reading from Wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ, we heard that wisdom played before God the Father, and God the Father delighted in him. And then we heard that wisdom, Jesus Christ, played upon his creation and found delight in the human race. God isn't void of affection. Where do you think our affections came from? How did he dream these into be? Because they're an echo of him who's madly passionate. Love without affection is lacking. I want to share with you kind of a humorous quote. In its fullest form, love is not meant to be cold, calculated decision, devoid of feelings. A spouse saying, "Honey, I love you. I have no feelings at all for you, but I know that I am committed to you," is not the ideal situation. Our emotions are meant to be caught up into our commitment to our beloved, thus enriching the relationship and giving us an even deeper experience of union with the other person. Love is rooted, married in truth, but it's not cold and abstract. It incorporates our heart, our affection, and the two of these play in a beautiful dance in order to produce authentic love. And here's the last thing. As we gaze upon the Holy Trinity, what we don't find are three persons absorbed in themselves. We don't find three individuals who are so needy, so self-focused, just constantly thinking about their own wants, own desires, and grasping after the other for them to fulfill it. Rather, when we gaze upon the Holy Trinity, we see three persons totally enthralled and focused on the other. Love is selfless. Love is not concerned about one's own needs and longings and aches of their own heart. Love is more interested in the beloved, their needs, their wants, their aches. And so love turns us away from ourselves and enraptures us in the goodness of the one before me. One of my favorite quotes from Benedict XVI is this: "Love is indeed ecstasy, not in the sense of a moment of intoxication, but rather as a journey, an ongoing exodus out of the closed inward looking self towards its liberation through self-giving." I know I'm carrying on quite a bit here, but I want to repeat that quote because it is the key to our fulfillment. Love is indeed ecstasy. Not in the sense of a moment of intoxication. It's not, I'm suddenly filled up with all of these fuzzy warm feelings, though it can accompany it. It's not just getting hit with drugs or some type of experience of heightened emotion. Not in the sense of a moment of intoxication, but rather as a journey, an ongoing exodus out of the closed inward-looking self toward its liberation through self-giving. It's beautiful. He's saying, do you want love to fill your heart? Do you want to be on fire with love again? That place that's empty, that's void, that's that ache within you. You want love? Go out and love. You want to experience love in your bones, in your own heart? You want to feel delighted in? Go out and delight in someone else. I experience love. I'm filled with love as I give love away. It's the mystery. The mystery of what? The mystery upon which all of creation is founded, which is what? The Holy Trinity. And what is He? Self-pouring, self-sacrificial, selfless love. Pouring out because He's enthralled, enraptured by the one before Him. Our hearts are wired the same. People like Mother Teresa and the saints, they reveal this to us. A woman who wastes her life away on other people, and in so doing, is totally filled with love. As you come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive our Lord, open wide the gates of your heart, because God wants to flood you with His divine love, so that you and I can turn outwards and love one another.